Luke chapter 12. This morning, we were there last week. We had a bit of fun with Mr. Big Barnes, who had a bumper crop, and he was thinking how he can invest what he's got to make sure that it lasts, make sure that he has a great retirement, make sure that he's going to be comfortable. And we saw a little bit of ourselves, perhaps, in Mr. Big Barnes. There he is. What I didn't tell you is that his name is Dennis. It didn't seem important at the time, but it's relevant because today I want to introduce you to Denise. Here she is. Oh dear. That's not what she normally looks like. This is what she normally looks like. There we go. But at the moment, Denise, well, she's got many things going well for her in her life. And lots of people envy her. They envy her house. Very nice indeed. She's got a lovely garden. She tends it, takes care of it. She's got a great family and a good job. But she does worry a lot, our Denise. She worries about her health, that niggling scare that might be actually nothing. She worries about her son, who isn't getting on as well as she hoped by now. She worries about her work. Will the job that she has be secure this time next year? She worries about her future. Will I be secure in my later life? And of course, those big political issues that she can't do very much about. She worries about the terrorist bombings and insecurity, and she won't visit London anymore. And of course, Brexit uncertainty. There are many things that cause Denise concern. And on top of that, there was last week's sermon. That's such a challenge about Dennis the Fool. And the question at the end, how can I be rich towards God? Am I just building my life or am I building God's kingdom? And she's gone away thinking, actually, I need to be investing in God's work and the needs of people. Not just thinking about body, soul, not just thinking about now, but a few years' time. Not even about retirement, but investing in things that will last for eternity. Instead of thinking about her own treasures, she's thought maybe about giving more away, supporting mission and supporting the church, and she's wondering what things God would put his money into. But she doesn't feel very calm about it. She's a bit worried, will I have enough? What if Dad needs to go into a nursing home? What if the economy takes a nosedive? What if my pension doesn't come through? Can I really afford to be generous? Question I'm sure many of us ask. Jesus gathers together his disciples and says to them, "You may be worried and fearful." Verse 22. Do not worry. And verse 32, do not be afraid. And Jesus' word to his disciples is a word to us this morning. If we're trying to do those kinds of things that we know should be part of our Christian living, that we know that we should be investing in God's kingdom, but we're a bit worried and concerned, Jesus wants to give us assurance. Assurance in the midst of our worries, verses 22 to 28. And Jesus uses two pictures to comfort us. They're both in verse 23. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Life is more than food. Whether it's food from Waitrose or Aldi, life is more than that, says Jesus. Look at the ravens. He takes an example from nature. Consider the ravens, verse 24. They don't sow or root or reap. They don't have any storeroom. They don't have any barns. Notice that? No barns. Ravens don't plan for the future by building bigger barns. How can they then have any assurance that they will have a future? We're told God feeds them. You might say, that's not right, is it? I've seen what birds do. They just kind of scratch around. They pick up things in their beaks. Jesus says, yes, it's God feeding them. Richard Dawkins would probably be choke on his cornflakes at this point, if you read this kind of thing. But the Bible is very clear about these things. Yes, of course, science explains all kinds of things, what we see and what we feel and what we touch. But God is also involved in all of those things at the same time. The ravens find food, and God is feeding them. That's how he works behind all things. Does he love you any less than the ravens? No, verse 24. You are much more valuable to him than the birds. God feeds them. How much more will he care for us? You may have a pet. Anybody got any pets here? I don't. You got one? Just the one. We had pets growing up. I used to wake up from dreams years after leaving home, thinking I'd forgotten to feed the cat. I don't know if that's a common fear of people who've got pets. Sometimes it just happens. You forget to feed your pet, or you're way too long, but somehow the pet still survives. But you don't forget to feed your children, do you? How much more do you care for them and love them? And God says that of his children too, especially those who give to his work. Of course he will care. God gives us our daily bread, as we saw back in chapter 11. There's no need to worry. God, our Father, will feed us. Verse 23 again. And the body is more than clothes. Your body is more than clothing. There are more important things than getting your jewelry from Tiffany's or your suits from Savile Row. Jesus says, verse 27, another example. He says, look at the lilies. More beautiful than the splendor of Solomon, who was very rich. He was a king. Look at a lily or any flower. Look at these flowers in a vase. Beautiful. The textures, the colors, the intricacy of the design. God's taken such care in how they look. And so is Margaret. Thank you, Margaret. Yeah, pop them in a vase. And they're gone next week. They're a passing thing. And if God clothes the lilies, how much more will he clothe his children? No children here this morning, but I can see that you've all managed to dress yourselves this morning. Well, how much more does God care for us, his children, especially those who are giving to his work? Your body is more than food and clothing. God gives to those who are his. Someone might ask, well, what about people who are in famine conditions? Christians in Nepal or the Middle East, we've prayed for, or in Africa. Lack of water, toilets, homes, clothes. Even then, we have to say that God is able to care and provide for all of his children. Maybe that's through those of us who are rich in the world's eyes. God stirs our hearts in order that this promise can be kept, so that people can be fed and clothed. The point being made here to these slightly anxious disciples. They might be thinking, have I given too much to God's work? Can I afford to give to God's work? Can I afford to follow Jesus in the kind of way that he says is the right way? The message is, you can never give too much to God. He's well able to provide for your needs. You can afford to be generous. After all, why would he give you more than you need if it's not to give that away? Assurance in the midst of our worries. He is a loving father, and you are his children. Won't he care for you and provide your needs? So if that's the case, what are you running after? Verses 29 to 31. If you look at those three verses, you'll see phrases that are very similar. There's set your heart. There is what you run after. The pagan world runs after these things. And then there's seek his kingdom. The same idea in all of these things of what are we running after? What are we setting our hearts on? What are we setting our minds on? The world runs after all kinds of things. Thinking about the queues for the Boxing Day sales, or when a new iPhone comes out, or when Adele posts a new concert coming online. Tickets are sold out just like that. The world runs after all kinds of things. And we're part of that. We're part of that world. And we dive in and we go headlong as well. But Jesus wants us to redirect what we're running after. Why set your heart on what you can eat and what you can wear when he provides these things? No, seek his kingdom instead. Verse 31. Jesus wants us to contrast the running after all these things and a passion to dive in and to seek God's kingdom, to get into God's kingdom, to live for God's kingdom. The Bible says, seek the Lord whilst he may be found. Call on his name while he's near. Seek his kingdom. If only we were as passionate about entering his kingdom, to seek the things that could be found there. As we experience all the riches of the gospel, as we taste and see God's goodness, as we enjoy what it is to be forgiven, to know what it is to be adopted as his children, to be filled with his spirit, and to have the prospect of new life in eternity, to seek his kingdom and to enjoy all these things, and then to be telling others that it's available. Perhaps you hear of a friend who's keen to get one of those fidget spinners, all the craze at the moment. I had a go on one and I dropped it on the floor. I didn't know what he was supposed to do with them. But there was the craze is probably almost over by now. But it was very hard to get hold of them at first. Suppose you know of a friend who needs to get one of those and you hear of a place where you can get it for them. Jesus says, if only we would have similar passion to tell others where they can find new life and peace and joy in the kingdom. C.S. Lewis said, it's not that our desires are too strong, but they are too weak and are directed in the wrong place. Jesus asks, what are you running after? Jesus is saying here, yes, the world runs after all these sorts of things and your Father knows you need them. Whether we need a fidget spinner? Just called a fidget. Whether we need one of those is another matter. But he knows what you do need. Seek first his kingdom. Run after his kingdom and these things. And yes, you will find that God does provide. And that's a lovely promise, isn't it, in verse 31? A lovely promise. You can read it there for yourself. He will provide. Well, what do we say to our imaginary friend Denise? I'm sure you know the truth of these things far more than I do. You know how you've given, sacrificially perhaps, to God, and how God has kept his promise in your life. I guess you might want to say to her when she's worried and concerned, seek first his kingdom. Make that your priority. God will not abandon you. He will take care of you. As we close, invest your heart. Verses 32 to 34. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Don't be afraid when you think about all that God has chosen to give you. It's like a Christmas meal. The plate is heaving with food. He couldn't have given you any more than he has. He gave us his Son, his kingdom. When we weigh up what he has given to us compared to what we give to him, it doesn't compare. It never will. He will always outgive us. Yes, we can give more. We can sell possessions, not necessarily all of them. We can give to the poor and the poor in spirit to share God's love. We can give to missions, to full-time Christian workers, to our church, to gain treasure that won't wear out. But we won't judge someone like Denise. We won't judge her because she needs assurance of God's love. And she needs that encouragement to keep putting God first. And I think that's what I need. I think that's what all of us need. When we think of what we do with our money and what we do with our time, we do need assurance. The assurance of the Father who loves us. that he would do anything for us. And we need the encouragement to seek his kingdom and to invest in his work for all eternity. There she is. We don't judge her, but we remind her of a loving Father who has been so generous to her, so that she need not stress about daily needs, but trust in him. He has been generous to us, so we can be generous. When it comes to an investment, do you think God wants your money? Do you think the church wants your money? No. He gave you his son. What he wants is to win your heart. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our daily bread. Thank you for loving us in Jesus. Thank you that we are rich in you. Please help us to invest in eternity by giving you our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.